Hey, welcome to Space Gab. This is Mike Coletta. It's the 9th of March, 2022. Space Gab can be heard at www.spacegabpodcast.com. And there you can select what you want to hear Space Gab on, the different venues available to hear the episodes. Well, it appears so much more is being shown on social media and elsewhere about the Russian and Ukraine conflict slash war going on now. And it's actually impacting the space programs much more than it was last week. Things are going on for the negative and the positive, depending on which side you're on. As an example, here's an article put out today by Space News titled, Canada Answers Ukraine's Call for Satellite Radar Imagery. Canada has a satellite named RadarSat-2, and it's going to be used to provide the Ukraine with imagery of what's going on the ground. And something about this satellite is that it's not impacted by weather. So it's like a satellite that can see through the clouds or whatever else is going on down there. And they're going to be collecting data. It says here, it says, we're honored that we are able to use our radar satellite capabilities to contribute to these international efforts, and we'll continue doing everything in our power to help the government of Ukraine protect its citizens. MDA's imagery will be shared with a commercial space partner in the United States. The imagery will then be merged and analyzed with additional imagery collected by other Earth observation companies, and intelligence reports will then be shared with the government of Ukraine. So more and more countries are getting involved with their eyes in the sky to see what's going on. Weather be damned, basically. They don't care what the weather is like. They can still see what's going on. So that's one type of impact going on because of this situation. Here's another different type of impact from also from Space News. UK bans space-related exports to Russia. It says here, new trade sanctions aimed at Russia's space sector was announced March 9th by the UK Foreign Secretary, Liz Truss. While the announcement focused on new aviation sanctions strengthened an overflight and landing ban imposed on Russia's aircraft in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, additional trade measures, quote, will prevent UK exports of aviation or space-related items and technology to Russia, including related services such as insurance and reinsurance services, end quote. It says, this means cover is withdrawn on existing policies and UK insurers and reinsurers will be unable to pay claims in respect to existing policies in these sectors, the announcement states. So if something, if you know, let's say that they have a space vehicle insured with a company that's under this new, advisement, they're not going to be, something happens, and they're not going to be covering that accident or whatever else happens. So that's another kind of sanction going on, and it's this one's aimed at the space industry. So as I said last week, some things were impacted, but this week it's a whole new ball game. Here's another story, and I'm not sure if this one is being impacted by what's going on, but ULA announced there's going to be a launch delay of the USSF -12 Wide Field of View Missile Detection Satellite. This is built by L3 Harris, and this is the launch of the ULA's Atlas V-541 carrying USSF 12. For the USSF SSC has been delayed due to a customer request. We will continue to work with SSC to determine USSF 12's next launch opportunity. ULA's next launch is OFT-2 for Boeing Space and NASA, planned for May. So I'm not sure if this was actually, you know, based on what's going on in the world today. But the customer has asked that it be delayed. And that customer is Space Systems Command. So you can only assume that this may be a delay for the reason that I talked about on the previous two stories. But maybe not. It's just, everything is just up in the air. Anything to do with space now, you know, they're actually, I guess, last week, they did not test a certain ballistic missile test. The United States stopped that because they didn't want it to look a certain way. So this is eggshells people are walking on now, or trying to walk on, in the space industry now too. So like last week, maybe the eggshells were a lot harder. This week, the eggshells are a lot more fragile. So you're going to see more things being impacted because of the situation, the worldwide situation. And like I said, now space is being impacted a lot more than it was. Well, one country that doesn't seem to be impacted as far as space is concerned is China. And I've talked about China a lot on the Space Gab podcast because they are kicking butt in the space program that they're setting up and going forward with. And I shouldn't say setting up. They've already set up one heck of a space program, and everybody's taken note. The U.S., Russia, anybody else who is already in the space game is taking note of China. And they just had two recent launches, and they actually set a new record for the largest number of satellites ever deployed by a Chinese rocket. And they deployed 22 small satellites into orbit with one of the launches alone, hauling payloads to space for Earth observing, maritime surveillance, communications, and technology demonstration missions. So, you know, and I'm, you know, there's many people who understand that China is just kicking butt in space right now. And the United States, you know, where they used to say that their adversary in space was, you know, early on was Russia. And so now the new adversary in space, and it's not an adversary in a bad way, as I say, but it's someone who's just doing a lot in space, all kinds of things in space right now. So China is the one to watch right now in space, and I'll tell you what, they are being watched by many. And another space program that is being watched by many, and has been watched by many, SpaceX. And today they just launched another batch of Starlink satellites, all successful. Today they launched, and I did provide on my Twitter feed. Oh, by the way, anything I talk about on the Space Gab podcast can be pretty much found on my Twitter feed. Links to the actual articles in their entirety can be found, and that Twitter feed is twitter.com/Mike_Coletta, and you can read much more than I'm talking about. But anyway, I did provide some screenshots of the launch. Now, the launch screenshots, when it was launched, the Falcon 9 was launched, you know, everything went flawlessly. But when the first stage of the Falcon 9 was coming back down, you know how SpaceX lands their first stage to be reused? Well, this time they weren't able to share a video of the actual landing on the live feed anyway. Although I did see some graphics later on that showed the booster on this first stage on the deck. I don't know. It could have been from a previous launch, but I didn't see anything. And what I shared came from the live feed. So you do see the reentry burn coming down, and then you hear about the landing burn happening, although they didn't show the landing burn of the first stage. And then they show the deck of the ship that's going to be it's going to be landing on. And then the ocean in the background, but there's no rocket in sight. And all of a sudden, boom, then a blue screen came on, so you weren't able to watch the actual landing. But SpaceX did tweet out that it was a successful landing of their first stage, rocket first stage. And they tweeted out that a successful deployment of all their Starlinks occurred today. Staying on the subject of SpaceX Starlinks, this is from Space News. U.S. Space Command has been impressed by SpaceX's ability to provide internet access in war-torn parts of Ukraine, the head of the command told lawmakers March 8th. Quote, "What we're seeing with Elon Musk and the Starlink capabilities is really showing us what a mega constellation or a proliferated architecture can provide in terms of redundancy and capability, General James Dickinson, commander of U.S. Space Command, said during a hearing, the Senate Armed Services Committee. So I've got a link to the entire article if you'd like to read more. It's pretty detailed and talks about the possible signal jamming that was occurring and how that was handled, and just talks basically, you know, praises the ability of this SpaceX Starlink mega constellation and what it's done. And you're going to see a lot more mega constellations going up here for various reasons, of course. But this is a very interesting article if you'd like to go check it out. And it looks like maybe China will be getting into the mega constellation business. His says here from Space News, China launched a set of commercial satellites Saturday for testing broadband services, on-orbit networking, and integrating communications and remote sensing technologies. Let's see, U.S. Space Command tracked seven objects from the launch in a roughly 480 kilometer orbit, inclined by 63 degrees. So they were watching this launch, as they watch all launches. The six satellites for private startup Galaxy Space are designated GS2, GSAP01, O2 and O3, and GS2BP01 and O2, which also bearing secondary names through sponsorships. The experimental satellite network has been nicknamed Mini Spider Constellation. So they're doing some testing now up there on possible mega constellations for China. Well, I guess the Black Vault at Twitter handle BlackVault.com says the FBI just released their files on HARP. Here's what they sent, the Black Vault, plus a ton of other material on HARP as well. So the owner of the Black Vault on Twitter always sends in these FOIA requests, and FOIA requests is what they call them. And I guess they sent back a bunch of HARP stuff for his request. I haven't looked at it, but there's a lot of documents regarding HARP itself. So if you want to go check it out, I do have a link on my Twitter feed there, twitter.com/Mike_Coletta, and it takes you to all the PDF files you can download on HARP. I know you still see people writing all the time on social media, anytime there's some kind of weird weather going on, they're blaming HARP. Maybe they should all go and read these documents. I don't even think HARP is active right now. I'm pretty sure it's not. It hasn't been active for a while. And the last time it was active was because some people paid for some testing on a private basis. But if you're interested in HARP, there's all kinds of documentation that the Black Vault requested on a FOIA request and was granted and received the documentation, and they're graciously sharing all those documents. A couple days ago, my wife brought back a bottle of Coca-Cola, and this thing was a Starlight Limited Edition, a weird-looking label, and the flavor was space, it said on the bottle, space-flavored. Now, what the heck that's about, I didn't know, but I went and did some research, and sure enough, they had a little article about this space-flavored Coca-Cola, and it tasted weird to me, so I guess maybe space tastes weird. I don't know. But I did put a link on what is space-flavored Coca-Cola on my Twitter feed if you'd like to go read about it. I put a little picture of the bottle I took there and the color of the Coke and space-flavored. Well, I didn't read that article deep enough to figure out, you know, and most likely it's just a marketing stunt. You know, how would they know what space tasted like? Maybe I don't want to know. I don't know. It looks like the Mars helicopter Ingenuity is preparing for flight number 21. I haven't seen anything lately about that flight happening, so they must be still preparing for it. And I will talk about it once it happens. But flight number 21, can you imagine? They weren't even sure it was going to fly. And now it's going for its 21st flight. Isn't that something? kind of an interesting and long article about a company. They're called Privateer, and they say they've come up with a new technology for improved tracking of space objects. Says, let's see, this thing's called Wayfinder. Privateer's Wayfinder is a visualization tool for various sources of space situational awareness data and a demonstration of the platform the company has developed to provide more specialized services to operators. Pretty interesting article. If you'd like to go check that one out, I do have a link on the Twitter feed. Well, that rocket they were tracking that was going to be hitting the dark side of the moon, well, I guess it hit. On March 5th, there was some information. This one came from The Verge. They said, you know, they weren't sure. And I talked a little bit about it last podcast. They weren't sure which rocket it was that was going to be slamming into the moon. Certain rockets that they thought were the one, they were told, nope, that was not our rocket. And but I guess it says, after years of zooming through deep space, the article says, a presumed leftover piece of a Chinese rocket slammed into the moon, just as space tracking experts expected it would. At least it should have hit the moon around 7:30 a.m. on the day they have this article on, and this was the 4th of March. As long as the law of gravity has not changed, they're saying here. The collision brings an end to the rocket's life in space and likely leaves a fresh new crater on the moon that may be up to 65 feet wide, this Verge article says. Well, I'm hoping that we're going to be seeing this new crater, and I'm sure they'll be sharing a photo. I don't think people got video of this object slamming into the moon, but they sure will be sharing pictures of the crater. And I'm looking forward to seeing that, to see, you know, and I guess they did pin it down to a spent Chinese rocket booster, you know, but who knows, act up there, so many objects, but and so many craters on the moon too. But I know they have, you know, a detailed graphics of the moon, so finding a new crater of that size will be pretty easy, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, as many and most space enthusiasts are. Well, that's it. Until next time. Space Cowboys.